We're in week who knows what, with week who knows who, with week you know who.
I don't know what week it is either, but it is part two of Mara Murray.
Mara Murray part two.
So if you didn't listen to last week's, here's a good time to stop.
Stop and rewind.
Doop, doop, doop.
It's a pretty crazy podcast.
Okay, so since this is a part two, we're kind of going to jump into it pretty quickly here. There are a couple of things that I would like to touch upon for the last episode.
Touch me.
They were like little things that I didn't know at the time, because I had gotten mostly through halfway through the one documentary, but I didn't watch the whole thing because I didn't want to get like all the theories and stuff, but there were some questions that I had in the first part that were answered. So number one, I questioned how her boyfriend's like flight was so short. He actually was stationed in Oklahoma. The wine bottle, the boxed wine was open.
It was open. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and there was wine in a pop bottle, soda bottle, whatever you guys call it. The ATM surveillance video, it was released.
Okay.
There's nothing in it. I saw it. Mm. But it was released on that show.
Oh.
On the documentary.
Hmm.
And then...
So there was just money that disappeared. Nothing. Or was it Mara Murray?
No, I mean, like, there was nothing exciting on it. It was just her taking cash out.
Okay.
So those are, like, the kind of things. There might be more that I uncover as we talk here today, but last week was just kind of, like, the basic rundown. And then today is going to be, there's, like, several big central theories. And we're just going to go over them, you know, kind of in depth the way, like the podcast, not the podcast, the documentary did, and then the way I like went all over Reddit and like I read for hours and hours and hours and couldn't sleep. And
oh, okay.
So yeah,
she did the research, so you don't have to.
You still can.
So you still can.
But this is gonna get you hooked in.
Get you hooked in. Get you a little fish hooked.
So the first time I heard it, like I was interested in it, but like I kind of. Like, I looked into it, and then I kind of just forgot about it, but doing the research for this, it just, there are 100 different, like, ways that it can go.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to stop yourself, because, like, if not, it will just consume you. And that's the whole thing about it being, like, unsolved, is there's just so many different potentials for it. So, I would like to start with, the big possibilities of what could have happened. So there's a couple of different theories. And so the one is that she left.
She left.
Now, there is a... I know I told you about the author last week. His name's James Renner.
James Renner.
And he is big on like Reddit and Twitter and stuff. So he actually does like interact with people.
Old Jimmy.
But he wrote a book... And in the book, and since then, he's kind of went back on it a little bit. But in the book, his main theory was that she was pregnant. She was trying to run away from the men in her life, and she went to Canada.
Okay.
Now, I think, based on like what I read on Reddit, he's kind of more leaning away from that now. But at the time, we're going to, like, that was one of his big theories, and we are going to use that as one of the main theories here.
Okay.
Another one is that she was injured. Or, you know, like in the car accident, or was drunk and she died from exposure.
To the elements.
Yeah. The third one is someone took her.
Someone took her.
And then the fourth one, I guess there's technically five. The fourth one is police had something to do with it.
Police had something to do with it.
Yeah, like it kind of goes into the someone took her, the police had something to do with it.
Oh, so it was a cover up.
Yeah, I kind of placed that one under the someone took her one.
Okay.
We will talk about that And then the last possible one, I mean, there's last big possible one is suicide.
Yes.
Okay. So let's start out with the she left situation.
Yes.
Okay. So again, like my sources are basically from Reddit, that documentary that I talked about last time, and like just like basic internet searches. So this is all information that you can find pretty easily. I'm not stealing anybody's content. I'm just trying to just tell you what I read. Okay. So she left. Let's go down this rabbit hole. So we know last time she was in trouble for wrecking her dad's car.
Yep.
She already had a blow from that university for using the stolen cards.
Yeah.
And then her sister. Yeah. For the pizzas.
For the pizzas. She got the pies.
And then her sister, you know, just had that rehab situation. You know, it's a lot of different things that could make somebody kind of snap and decide to leave.
Yeah.
So some theories behind how she got there was, you know, she packed up all of her belongings. She left a note for her boyfriend to find or for somebody to find, you know, basically about him cheating on her. And, you know, she was driving north. And at the time, in 2004, the Canadian border didn't have nearly as much security as it does now. You could get there with just a driver's license.
Yeah, or a birth certificate or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, she had a driver's license. Yeah. So, you know, it's easy to get over the border. Some theories. Here's where I get a little. They went in the documentary, they went to Canada and they talked to this one like CD person, like a record store, because in James Renner's book he said that like, oh, this person definitely recognized her. Well, they went back to the store and she said, oh no, I don't recognize that person. Okay, like that doesn't prove anything to me.
Yeah.
That one lady said, oh no, that definitely wasn't her. This is Canada. One of the biggest countries. Well, I mean, not one of the biggest countries, but like
population wise, but widest.
Widest country. Like it's a big
area wise. Yes.
Land mass. And okay, so let's say a small white woman.
Yes.
Crosses the border into Canada, where there are other. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, other races, but like, she's a very average looking white chick.
Yeah.
You know, she's in her early 20s. She's has light brown hair. She's athletic built. That's not anything out of the ordinary.
No.
Especially not if she's wearing like a hoodie and a coat. Like you blend in. So say she gets to Canada. In Canada, then she, you know, she already stole credit cards before. So is a fake ID really that improbable? No. You know? So, like I said, James Renner at the time said that he thought she was pregnant. However, there was a list in her car of, like, things that they found, and, like, there was birth control in her car.
Hmm.
So, probably not pregnant.
Probably not pregnant, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Using it?
Yeah, I mean, there were four missing from the pack, and, like, why bring it with you if you're not using it?
That's true, but I mean.
I also don't see where he pulled that out of his hat. Like, none of her friends, none of her family, nobody thought that was a thing.
Yeah, or, like, there wasn't discarded, you know, test strips anywhere or, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the pregnancy was even brought up.
You know, there wasn't any OBGYN visits or, like, you know.
It seemed like a weird thing to throw out there, but I haven't read his book, so maybe he does have some reason to substantiate that, but I didn't see it.
So, for a missing persons test, case, when can we release doctor records?
It's up to the police, really. I mean,
like to the police, when can they release them to the police?
Probably whenever they're reported missing,
like, you know, the presumed dead.
I don't know.
Okay, I was just curious because you have the more
knowledge
than I.
It's kind of like whenever you get medical records, you know, like.
Yeah, if you have cause to, because this would be,
yeah,
you know,
that would be
an instance that if she were to be pregnant, that she would be running away to Canada would be more likely than Mexico, in this instance.
Which is also weird because, like, you know, even if she was pregnant, like, so let's say she wanted to keep the baby.
Yeah.
You know, she would go to her sisters, I would think.
Okay. Yeah.
And they'd probably go from there. Even if her dad was, you know, some sort of crazy person that wouldn't be okay with it. Her boyfriend lived in Oklahoma at the time. So, I mean, like, if she wanted to be a single mom, she could easily be a single mom in, you know, New England rather than in Canada.
So, are we also inferring that that means she cheated on her boyfriend?
Maybe.
If this is the theory?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I know, but if we're just saying everything in this bottle is true, like,
they didn't really say one way.
I know, but
we don't know the last time her and her boyfriend had sex.
Well yeah, but if we're just assuming that he's been in Oklahoma for a while.
But we can't assume.
I know, that's also true. But
like, why would we assume that?
I know. I don't know. But it just seems like, I don't know.
I don't.
How often do you fly from Oklahoma?
I mean, to see your girlfriend, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
But either way, she wouldn't hide.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's kind of a dud, but
it's true.
I think the pregnancy is just like a complete, like, what the fuck. But
yeah,
the Canada thing, I think that people not recognizing her, and now it's, you know, 16 years later, like, she's going to look different. And the age progressed photo looked really terrible. Like,
yeah,
not going to lie, she looked rough. And, and I'm like, I don't think that this girl who clearly took care of herself is going to look this rough, but okay. And she could also dye her hair.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know. I mean, there is a good potential that she could be in Canada. But that kind of theory is kind of what everybody hopes, but not most people think.
Yeah.
So
you
that's
always hope for the best.
And the other thing is like, they did call an expert and they said, well, you know, her mom died of cancer and her sister had a problem with drinking and, you know, everybody's looking for her. You know, it's weird that she wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
However, in my thought process is, if you go through all this trouble to be gone and then they spend how many man hours, you know, looking for you, countless searches, your mom ends up dying of cancer, you know, like, at what point is it too much to come back?
Yeah.
So I understand why people say, like, oh, you know, she definitely come back for this reason and this reason and this reason.
No.
But
I disagree. Yeah, you're already sunk in. Like, it's kind of like the ditch is already dug too deep.
Yeah, like, at what point do you come? It's like, if you've watched Gone Girl, you know, like, she left and she faked her own, you know, death or kidnapping. And
it's kind of like you've killed one person. Someone walks into the room and sees you with the dead body.
Yeah.
Oh, might as well kill that person too.
But like I was going to say with Gone Girl, like, the only way that she could come back was the fact that she made it look like she had been kidnapped.
Yeah.
But so in this case, like, she would need to do such extraordinary measures to make it not look like she, you know, basically cost years and money and,
yeah, probably $1 million at least.
At least, yeah. So I can understand if she is in Canada or abroad somewhere, her staying there.
Yeah.
And she might have a family now. She might have, you know, reasons to stay. And maybe her family wasn't as close-knit as they say that they are.
Yeah.
So that's the Canada theory. Again, everybody hopes that's the correct theory.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the injured / hypothermia theory.
Ooh.
If we're being honest, I believe this one is probably the most likely, but there is severe debate whether this is the most likely or the least likely.
Yeah, I don't think hippos can fit in a thermos. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, hippos in a thermos, you know, can work out, so.
Sure.
So, hypothermia, definitely not an option.
Well, hypothermia.
Oh, hypothermia.
Okay, so this one is a really... This one's logical to me.
Yeah.
Because, so also, I did read one Reddit post. If you go on there now, I'm sure you can find it. It's like a tagged one that you can no longer like comment or anything on. But this one guy said that he was like an Army Ranger or something. And he has like really thought about the case. And he lives up near there. And he like checked it out and everything. So what we know is that there was a very short window of time.
Yeah.
And it was severely dark outside.
Oh, yeah.
So this theory kind of bases on the fact that she gets into a car accident. Okay. Butch Atwood comes by, you know, asks her if she wants to get on the bus or, you know, make a phone call or anything like that. And she said, no, don't call the police. Well, it's a very short amount of time before the cops actually come. But she would see the cops from a mile away because of the lights.
Yep.
So all she has to do is slowly back into the woods. Not even very far. 50 yards maybe.
Yep.
50 feet maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's New Hampshire in the winter.
Yeah.
And, you know, wait until the police go. The police admit that they didn't get out of their car to really search.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's dark outside and like this girl and like apparently this happens a lot or people, you know, they get into car accidents and they've been drinking. So they skedaddle.
Yeah. And how are they going to find them?
Yeah.
They could be anywhere within a mile or two. Or
yeah, exactly. Who
knows how far.
So
picked them up.
The way that they kind of debunk this one is they got cadaver dogs and they got scent tracking dogs.
Okay.
Now, the cadaver dogs, they did show this on the documentary, are really good. Like, they found, it's really gross that they did this, but they found placenta that they buried under the snow.
Yeah.
In, I think it was 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
Like.
How far away?
It was far.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, miles away, but it was far. And they alerted right to it.
Yeah.
And then the scent tracking dog, like we know, only tracked her 100 yards up the road.
Yeah.
So that's why they assumed a car picked her up because the scent just kind of disappears.
Okay.
But the theory about the guy on Reddit, he said that, like, what if she walked the opposite direction?
Hmm.
And, you know, she went down like a side street. That's definitely possible, you know, and like maybe the dog didn't catch her scent because the glove or whatever they used to track her didn't have enough of her scent on it.
That's possible. Yeah.
You know, these dogs aren't 100% accurate. Like, I mean, it does happen. Like, we're going to base our whole investigation off of that. And this is the White Mountains. The trees are so close together. And the one officer that is interviewed, he says, and it's kind of wrong with me. He's like, how often are you walking along the woods and you see dead animals?
Yeah.
Never.
Oh.
Because they're so far in there or, you know, scavengers come get them, stuff like that. It's very, you don't just see dead animals just hanging out in the woods. And that kind of, you know, like that kind of spoke, like, because, you know, a tree might fall on them or they might be covered with weeds or they might be covered, you know, with snow or they've been taken apart, you know, like.
Yeah.
Animals up there are hungry. I mean, it's the middle of winter.
Yeah.
It's very gruesome, but why would a pack of wolves not
chow down?
Yeah, if they could.
Yeah.
Very gruesome, but it is a severe possibility, especially if she did crack her head on her window. She's drunk. We don't know if she's drunk, but let's just say she is. And now she has a concussion.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do when you have a concussion? You go to sleep and you don't wake up.
Or, yeah, for a while, yeah.
Hypothermia sets in. bears, moose.
Moose? Moose? Mises.
Do moose eat meat?
No.
What do they eat? Trees?
Whole trees, Melissa. No.
Leaves on leaves? Trees.
Hold, what the?
Moose don't eat meat?
No.
Oh. Well, there's bears and wolves. Yeah. And foxes and coyotes.
Okay. You're on the right track now.
Birds of prey.
If moose eat meat, correct me, people. But, you know.
I don't know what moose eat.
I'm pretty sure they don't.
So a lot of people, you know, say that no way, like the dogs would have found her, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I'm not buying it. See, I kind of see, this is where it goes, is I can lean towards a lot of these. I will say that I cannot lean towards the police taking her. We'll get to that one here, but that's the one that I'm like, definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, this brings us to the someone took her theory.
Okay.
This is the biggest theory. This is the one that has 100 different rabbit holes to go down.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start with the police being involved because I just want to throw this one out quickly.
Yep.
So the reason the police are being questioned is I told you last week that the police... The one woman stopped and saw a police car before the time frame that they were supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Well, she said when she pulled up, she saw a police car and the police, well, it was actually a police SUV and it was marked 001.
Yeah.
Well, that is usually the chief's car.
Yeah.
Or cruiser. And the chief was not on duty that day. So people are like, that's super suspicious. Like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And then the reason she knew what time it was not because of like, oh, she saw the time, but they timestamped her phone call to the police and then tracked it back however long it usually takes to get from there to there.
Yeah.
So it could be off by a couple minutes.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, especially if she sat at a crime scene longer than she thought she did or not as long as she thought she did, you know. I thought that was kind of like a weird way to time something. And then it turns out that the police officer on the first one on scene was using the SUV. It's not the chief's SUV. It's the station's.
Yeah.
And they use it because it was snowy out.
Yeah. It's an SUV. And
so of course there's going to be a black and white SUV with its lights on.
Yeah.
You know, and she said nobody was around the scene and he might have walked up the street, you know, half a couple hundred feet and was talking to somebody. Like, it's not like, that's not weird.
That's his job.
That is literally his job. So that one's just completely a red herring.
Yeah.
But okay. So we're going to talk about the different ones that could have happened.
Okay.
So there are these ones that are called, let me make sure I got this right. Sorry, I have a name somewhere, but I'm trying to find it. The Loon, I think. They're called the Loon 3.
Loon 3.
Okay, so there is a skiing
resort.
Up the street, or not up the street, but like they would have to pass by.
Yeah.
And it was in Loon.
Okay.
And there were three men who didn't show up for work that night.
Mm.
So a lot of the theories are that the Loon 3 like took her to a party and she OD'd or something happened and then they got rid of her.
Oh.
But nobody can identify who these three are. There's no official suspects. It's just the fact that these three guys didn't show up for work the one day, and it was just so happened to be the day that she went missing.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, it's a viable theory.
Yeah.
But the fact is that, like, I believe the police must know who these three are because they knew that they weren't at work that day.
Yeah, but at the same time, they'd either release their names if there was an inkling that they were guilty.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they were cleared, it's not fair to release their names because then there's an inkling that they're guilty.
Well, so what the police said during the documentary was they said nobody's been cleared, but nobody's been charged.
Yeah.
So that just means they have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
So even if these Loon 3 did do something, there's nothing to prove it.
Yeah. And I mean...
But nothing to disprove it either.
It's true.
So that is a big one. The other one is a serial killer.
Okay.
Now, Israel Keyes, who I have talked about, I know that we have not covered him.
Yeah.
But I have told you about him.
You have, yes.
His stomping grounds were around that area, and he was in the area around the time.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that says that he did it.
Well, he was just random, wasn't he?
He was, but I mean...
He wouldn't have picked a crash victim.
But I mean,
in the middle of a snowstorm,
he did do crimes of opportunity. The one couple he murdered just because they were home.
Yeah, but because they were home.
Yeah,
like so that's crime of his opportunity.
Yeah,
it's not a crime of like.
But this is a crime of opportunity. He went to the one girl's work and picked her up right out of a coffee booth.
Okay.
So it's it is a possibility. But it's not something that, I mean, he is dead now. Sorry, spoilers for future episode. But we can't ever prove that he didn't.
Yeah.
Until we find out what happened to her.
It's true.
So, like, a lot of people say that probably not, though.
Yeah, probably not.
The
odds are very small.
So then there's the other one where... It could be a different serial killer or a different type of weird, crazy murderer because another woman does go missing in the same area not too long afterwards. But the police do not have a connection. Her name is Brianna Maitland, and they said that there was no connection between them.
Huh.
And that was something that they did come out and say. And, well, Brianna's, I guess, was technically part of, like, a bad drug deal, and they followed her, and I guess it was just too different.
So that kind of fits with the three people theory of drug overdose at the party, though.
Yeah, so, I mean...
If they were connected.
Yeah, and, like, with this case, like, I guess, like, the police are like, no, they're definitely not connected.
Okay.
But...
You know... Weirder things have happened.
They're similar in age, similar time, same area. It's hard not to draw connections to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see what else we got here. The other one that someone took her, there is this theory about the A-frame house.
A-frame house.
Yeah, you know what an A-frame house is?
I know what an A-frame house is.
It's, for people who don't know, it's like a nice little cabin-y area that it's like very woodsy, you know, and it's like one, I mean, there's a lot of different rooms, but it's very like a cabin. And so... Basically, what happened is there was this cabin that was very suspicious, and there were human blood that was found at this house, and it was close to the crime scene, or to the crash site. And I'm trying to check my notes here. So basically, there was evidence there, and. They were pulling it up and they were trying to test it and they were trying to like get wood from the closet because they said it would look like human blood.
Yeah.
But the problem is that the people who were pulling up this stuff were not police officers.
Oh.
So they're collecting evidence with no chain of command.
Oh.
So even if this did have Mara Murray's blood, like literally, like with 100% match, they cannot use that as evidence.
Yeah.
we have no idea where these wood chips came. I mean, we know where it came from, but we can't prove that it came from there because they weren't picked up by forensic techs.
Yeah.
So on the Oxygen episode or the Oxygen show, they did like a DNA test because they did like it did show that there was blood,
mm-hmm.
and that blood there was a male DNA thing, and it was an unknown. So it could have been a female, could have been another male.
Yeah.
No idea if it was Mara or not. Mm. Kind of left on a.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, we don't know. But it was in a closet. I don't know. It's to me that one's the far-fetched theory.
That is pretty far-fetched.
And the fact that they knew that there was like this area in the closet and like it had been taken over by a different owner, and it just to me it seems the most far-fetched of everything besides the police one.
Yeah.
And the reason that they did this was because Fred, her father, was approached by a guy named Larry, and his brother actually rented the house and claimed that he killed Mara.
Hmm.
And
he killed her. Just came up and said, "I killed her."
Yeah, like, well, he told his brother that.
Oh.
And then Cadaver Dogs actually did, you know, that's where they went to the closet.
Oh.
But, like I said, like, the wood chips, they didn't do it correctly.
Yeah.
So, it's not...
Well, even still, they didn't find any other evidence. They
yeah.
didn't find the whole kit and caboodle. So.
Yeah, so they literally only found, like, one small area. I don't know. It's very confusing. The knife was, like, mailed to Fred. It was... I don't know. It seems like a weird... Too many weird things surrounding that situation.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's like, hey, my brother killed this chick. And, you know, the cadaver dogs are like, oh my God, there's blood in here. And then just like this small part of the closet. And then the police don't actually take the evidence. Some random person takes the evidence.
Yeah.
They do a sample. The sample kind of comes out as it could have female blood in here, but we're not sure. Like,
yeah, just blah.
I think I would feel better about this case if there had been like an actual police investigation of this place rather than a bunch of like amateur sleuths.
Yeah.
Fucking with evidence. So either this theory is the answer and they fucked it up.
Yeah.
Or this is another complete red herring.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, I guess, you know, so, you know, anything, they have to stop because it's, you know, fruit from the poisonous tree, you know, basically, you know, if they investigate any further from that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that evidence that they dig up, like if they were to go down a rabbit hole because of that evidence. Like,
right.
But if... say Mara Murray's family were to pay for the DNA test.
Well, they did.
And got the
But like it came results, back inconclusive.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah, but whenever you only have like a spattering, you know, like
yeah,
you,
I know.
And if she doesn't have, you know,
I know.
If it doesn't have the correct markers, it's just not there.
Yeah, if it's just not there. Yes.
But I get stuck on this theory because it does sound logical. This crazy guy, you know, who lives nearby, grabs Mara, takes him back to her house.
Yeah.
Takes her back to his house. You know, they get into a fight or something happens and then he ends up killing her. But then, like you said, like fruit of the poisonous tree, like, or poisonous fruit of the
poisonous.
Okay, I said it right the first time.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to kind of go from a different route. Like, You can't go from anything that the family has.
Yeah.
You can't go from anything that the brother touched. Yeah. So they would have to do an investigation on him on his own and then come to the same conclusions, do their own cadaver dogs. But now there's people that live in this house.
Yep.
But, and if that's the case, where is her body?
Yep. I don't know.
Because blood does not equal a body.
That's right.
So the other possibility is suicide.
Yep.
So there's a couple of things that bothered me here. Fred, her father, I can't tell if I liked him or not.
Okay.
I don't have to like him.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But there's a couple of things that he said that bothered me, especially when talking about if Mara committed suicide.
Okay.
Sorry, everybody. He said she wouldn't want anyone to think that she was weak mentally.
Mm.
Well, Fred, listen, buddy, if you're listening to this, that sentence might be why she committed, not like that sentence made her commit suicide, but
like, that's not the support she needs.
The thing is that if somebody feels depression, it doesn't matter. Like, maybe she had to go on a trip to New Hampshire to commit suicide because that she felt that, you know, she needed to disappear rather than have somebody find her in her room.
Yeah.
Being depressed does not make you mentally weak. And I don't know if maybe he put that in her head.
Yeah.
Now, if you tell somebody who's depressed that they are weak because they are depressed, what kind of outcome can happen from that?
Well, they eventually think that they're weak. It's kind of like the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the reverse psychology.
Right.
It's
kind of like men can't cry type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, then does it desensitize you so much that you never cry, or that you like have like complete mental breakdowns every once in a while?
Because I am a man, therefore I shouldn't cry.
Yeah. And in this case, like, you are a, you know, you went to West Point and you're a runner and you're a strong girl. Like, you can't, you're too strong to have depression.
That's complete bullshit.
I think that was a very toxic sentence. And, I hope that, you know, if he does hear this, or if anybody else hears this, that, you know, might think the same way. Like, clearly she was going through some shit. And clearly her sister was too, you know, because her sister had substance abuse problems. So not everybody is completely mentally sane all the time. Some people have issues and you got to deal with them. So the reason people think that this could potentially be a suicide was she took a shit ton of liquor up by herself.
Yeah, there wasn't anybody else that claimed to, yeah, I was going to meet her there.
Right. There's no proof that anybody was going up there with her.
Yeah.
She had been to the White Mountains before, and it was a place that she felt comfortable.
It's true.
There was a lot of family issues going on. Like, her mom was sick. Her sister was, you know, mentally sick.
Yep.
She had just crashed her dad's car.
Yeah.
For $10,000 worth of damage. She got kicked out of West Point. She got in trouble for using stolen credit cards. And then on top of that, her boyfriend was cheating on her.
Yeah.
And I think another thing is that when she packed up all of her boxes, because I think she probably did pack them up. I don't think that they were still unpacked from 3 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
That when somebody went into her room, they would find her boxes packed up with a note to her boyfriend, or an email from her boyfriend about the cheating.
Yeah.
And it would make sense of what happened.
Yeah.
And then they found up 5 packs of sleeping pills in an empty box of Simply Sleep in her car.
Mm.
But the one thing is, they don't say how big the packs are. Like, there's an empty box and they found 5 packs of sleeping pills.
Yeah.
But, like, somebody said the packs could have, like, little pills in them.
Yeah. But, like, how much could kill you? I don't know.
But if you mix sleeping pills with a white Russian, yeah, you know, then maybe that was her plan. In that book that I told you about, she, it is about somebody going into the wilderness and dying.
Yeah.
So, but then it kind of comes to question, if she committed suicide, where's her body?
Yeah. Maybe it went over the guardrail, like, just after she wrecked. She was just like, all right, I can't finish this. So, gonna have to do it the old-fashioned way.
Well, I don't know if there was any cliffs or, I mean, probably it's mountains, but.
Yeah, I just imagine.
Or, like, you know, did she hurry up and take a bunch of them and, or take them with her? Or, you know, like, she had her backpack with her and, like, the alcohol, they didn't say that they found it in the car. So, you know, did she take a couple bottles with her and a couple pills and go sit down in the woods somewhere and die?
Maybe.
This is what makes this case so crazy, is that there's so many different potentials, and the window of potential is where it's hard.
Yeah.
My question is, going back to the lady who first saw her.
Yeah.
We know that they said, like, oh, there was a man with, like, a cigarette in the car. Could have been misseen.
Yeah.
And then where'd he go? You know, so my theories, this is like me ranking what I think happened. I think that she probably, maybe that was a cigarette lighter or something, you know, because that would be like a red circle.
Yep.
You know, maybe she was leaving the car. Maybe she was doing something with that. Maybe that was a red light. Maybe it was a cell phone. And then she got out of the car. She tried to hide from the police. And she ended up kicking it.
Yeah.
And then they just didn't find her body. Mm. Number two, I go between Canada and something bad happening to her, somebody picking her up, just because I want to believe in Canada. I want to believe there was a tandem driver, got her safely to Canada, and then backed out. And the reason she hasn't come forward is because, at this point.
That's the whole part of her plan.
But then the thing that gets me about somebody picking her up is it was such a short amount of time. So unless it was a very attractive guy or something that stopped, happened to stop, or a girl her age, it could have been a girl. I mean, if you think about it, if I was on the side of the road and I was trying to hide from the cops because I'd been drinking in my car and a guy rolls up, I'd probably say no.
Yeah.
But if a girl rolled up, I might be more inclined to say yes.
That's possible. Yeah.
And another theory I have, just like I don't know the case well enough, you know, like as well as some other people do, that Faith Westman, who was the one who saw her, you know, what if she went and hid in the woods or hid next to her car? And then once the police left, she went to her house just for a little bit, told her why she was running. And then, like, the next morning she took off again.
Could be.
Because why would you change your story?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes in the heat of it all, I guess, maybe you misremember, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, it was such a small town that maybe she was like, hey, like, I really can't get a DUI. Like, I am going for nursing. It would ruin my career. Or maybe she's like, I'm trying to get to Canada. You know, I'm running away from blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
And then finally, there was a medium on the Oxygen special. And this one, it pissed me off.
Yeah, mediums always do.
I think the reason this one pissed me off so much was because she's like, now don't tell me anything about the case. I didn't Google anything.
So you did.
Okay, like, I believe that.
Yeah.
And all the things that she said were things that I knew. You know what I mean? Like, it was so, and like, even if they didn't tell her the name, if you would put missing person, New Hampshire, Mara Murray's literally the first person that pops up.
Yeah.
So it was a, I would like to say that the special, like the documentary, it was 6 parts, worth every minute, because they really did look at every single possible theory that had like a lot of merit to it.
Yeah.
They looked at the police situation. They looked at the medium. They looked at, you know, could she go to Canada? They went to Canada and they interviewed people. Hmm. So I don't know. What do you think happened?
I think,
I know, because last time you said you thought she went to Canada, so I'm curious to see if you
continue. I think you convinced me that she got drunk, took some pills, and went to sleep in the woods and turned into some bear shit.
Oh,
I know.
That was such a crude way of saying that.
But yeah, that's what happened.
I think the more that I, the more I read, I think the more I'm leaning towards it was a shit ton of bad situations that culminated into her self-destructing.
Yeah, she didn't make some good choices, but
in either ending it herself or Mother Nature ended it for her.
Well, sometimes you want to, when things go spiraling out of control and you feel like you have no control, you want to feel like you have control.
Yeah.
And the one thing that you feel like you can control is the end of it all.
Yeah.
And that's not right. So don't do that. There's always the thing that you can control is that you can control that.
Yeah, there's always a chance. Yeah, there's always a chance that you can come out the other side.
Yeah, that you live another day. That's definitely what you can control. That you can get through this.
And
so that's what we have to remember each and every day.
If you were going to commit suicide, and like, I, you know, trigger warning for all the suicide, you know, situations, but if somebody wanted to commit suicide, going to get all of your favorite liquors and a bunch of sleeping pills and going to your favorite place, it doesn't sound that crazy. I mean, it's crazy. Do not commit suicide. It's crazy to commit suicide. Do not do it, please.
Yeah.
But like, if you were going to commit suicide, that would be a logical step that you might take, you know, to go somewhere you're comfortable with, to, you know, make your, put yourself at ease by drinking as much as you can and taking sleeping pills. So you basically get drunk and fall asleep and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And no one to stop you. So,
right.
So that's not right. That's not. That's the easy way out. That's.
Let's hope she went to Canada.
Let's hope she went to Canada.
And she is now
raising that maple leaf with the red and white stripes, and
that's what,
rooting for hockey teams, and
that's what we hope to happen.
Having poutine and
maybe she even, like, you know, once she got to Canada, she got a fake Canadian passport and went to Europe.
Saying A all the time.
But, so that is the case of Mara Murray. I know that the people get really intense about this case. So I'm just going based off of what I read. And, like I said, the special on, it is on Hulu, but it was an Oxygen special called The Disappearance of Mara Murray. It was very well done. And I did a lot of research, but none of my research comes even close to a lot of the people on this case, because it's such a huge case.
Well, I think you did good, Melly.
Thank you. So yeah, that's the disappearance.
That's the disappearance of Mara Murray. All right. So now that we're done with the disappearance of Mara Murray, it's time for
Jason's Corner.
That was
spooky. Oh, I was going to say, like, really extra.
I am bringing it extra for this extra episode of Jason's Corner. So, Melissa, I want to know, what is something that you have regrets paying for?
Regrets paying for?
Yeah, that you don't like paying for, that you have to pay for.
Oh. You want to talk about the pink tax?
I know what the pink tax is, and I totally agree with it.
You agree with how shitty it is? Or you agree that women should get...
Well, like, to an extent.
So, for you who don't know, the pink tax is how expensive lady products are.
Well, like, to an extent. Like don't get me wrong. Like, if we're counting like tampons, okay?
Yeah.
They are an additional good that you are forced to purchase.
Yeah.
If we're saying that those should be free, I disagree with that.
If they
have an intrinsic value to them, say $1 per tampon, which I know that is outrageous, or maybe not. I don't know. I am a simple man. Do not hold this against me, people of the world. I
don't think that we shouldn't have to pay for them because, like, I mean, you have to pay for diapers. You have to pay for, you know,
normal that's my goods. Point.
But they're ridiculously expensive.
Yes, the overpriced pricing. That's why I said to an extent.
Yeah.
The overpricing and the gouging of you are forced to buy this.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I have you at my every beck and call. That's where I.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and I know people say, like, there are cheaper ones out there. But let me tell you, they don't fucking work.
Yeah, the quality ones or the patented ones are the patents are way too strong, or the patent protection is way too strong.
It's just the ones that really work. Yeah, but to say things that I actually resent, like buying that aren't like things like that.
Are the female razors versus the men's razors?
Well, I just buy male razors.
Well, yeah, but, I know that's, but that's what I'm saying. The pink tax.
Oh,
comes
yeah, the
into
pink
play.
Tax is definitely like, oh, the female deodorant is more expensive and the shampoo.
I agree with that.
But I think like getting out of like the pink tax stuff, like what I resent paying for.
Okay. Different stuff, yes.
Well, I mean, I resent my college education, but let's not get into that one. I have a lot of guilt whenever I buy things because when I was in college, I was very, very, very broke.
Yeah.
I worked 3 jobs, but gas was like $4 a gallon and I worked 50 miles and my school was 50 miles away. And I was paying rent and money was very tight. So, there was a lot of things that I resented paying for like pretty much every day. Like I'd be like, well, why did I buy this hoagie whenever I could have just bought rice, you know? So I had a lot of resentment over everything.
Yeah.
But I do not like designer things.
Okay.
At all. I feel like if you like it, cool. But I don't see the point in paying for a name on something.
Okay.
Except for certain products that like I do, you know, believe are better just because of the name on them. So I feel like I resent anything that I paid an exorbitant amount of money for just because it was a certain store.
Okay. That makes sense.
So
I agree with that to an extent.
Yeah. I think lately I haven't really done anything. I mean, I do have a lot of Apple products, but that's because...
But we pay for quality and ease of usership.
Yeah. And people who are like, well, Apple products suck. To me, they're I like them better. I'm sorry if you disagree, but I like them better.
Yeah. That's fine.
So I guess the last thing that I resented paying for. Probably our luxury apartment in Pittsburgh.
yeah. And the fee to break it.
Well, the fee to break it, we needed to because we were moving.
Well, yeah, but there shouldn't.
Well, no, you should because it's a lot of work to go over flipping an apartment.
Well, yeah, but
It was part of our lease, so I'm not mad about that. Okay. But I'm mad about the amount that we paid for literally the smallest amount of space because we were so worried about it being a nice apartment. So that's probably the last thing that I resented.
Okay, true. And that it had to be pet friendly, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why can't there be more pet-friendly apartments?
Like, I know, we talked about that, what, last week or two weeks ago? Yeah,
true, true.
So what do you resent paying for?
Okay, so up on my soapbox, step up. Two steps, three steps, four steps. Can everybody see me? Mic check. Okay.
Wrap it up.
I resent paying for taxes. Now hear me out.
Well, everybody
I know. Now, I don't resent paying for taxes per se, but I resent paying for taxes without an itemized bill for said taxes. Now, I said that to get your attention because the itemized bill part is the key to this. I want to know where my taxes go. I want to know exactly where the millions of dollars, well, billions and trillions of dollars go because, well, if maybe it has slipped past some of your ears by now, I am an accountant and I like to know where every single penny goes.
I'm an accountant.
I'm an accountant.
Where do you work?
A place where accountants work. And I like to know where, you know, my percentage. You know, it's fine if you want to spend money on fixing the roads or
Pennsylvania, or
like, you know, doing welfare programs or, you know,
I feel like the biggest
different things, you know, for charity or other projects. But that I just want to know that the money is not being earmarked for government handouts, you know, to big wigs that already have the millions and millions of dollars. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think that there's pros and cons. So like, obviously an itemized bill would be perfect because like, so Pennsylvania toll roads, if anybody has driven through Pennsylvania on the turnpike, the roads are absolute garbage. And the tolls are, what, $30 or something like that to get from one side of the state to the other?
Well, I think it's 45 now.
I don't even know.
It's 45 to 60, something like that.
I literally don't know because we use the, the pass. But,
which is how they get you, too.
But it's so much money. Like, we just drove there this weekend and back, and it was, it's a lot of money, and the roads aren't good. Like, as soon as you cross into, you know, like, Maryland in like, Virginia, which... they still don't have perfect roads, but like Maryland gets just as much snow as PA does.
It's still within the human realm of fixability.
Yeah. Like, it's, they're such shitty roads. But then the problem with an itemized bill also is that there would be protest every day about how much each department's getting. You know, like they'd be like, oh, you know, I don't think that old people in, you know, There's
protests about that anyway.
I know, but like having a really itemized, you know, like, oh, you guys feel that elderly care homes are more important than preschools and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I guess if you have, but if, so like when you're a publicly traded company, you do the rounding, right?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with rounding up to the nearest million.
Yeah, I just think and that...
as long as it's rounded up to the nearest million, that's fine.
I would like... I think overall I would like to know an itemized bill, but I feel like it would cause a lot of drama.
What if we had pie charts and graphs?
Maybe. You know, like this much is going to this spending, this
yeah, much our is overall this budget was that, and then...
Yeah.
So for the... the smarter person could do the math and do the multiply the percentages and whatever... But, you know...
And, like, you don't have to get necessarily... Like, there should be a list that you can request. But, like, you know, if it says social programs, you might want to know how that... So, oh, sorry, I have hiccups. That social program breaks down.
You okay?
Just hiccups.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just trying to cough them out. That could be, you know...
Yeah, see how that breaks down if you request it.
But it would probably through a request.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a good plan. But those are the people that are going to be the ones that complain anyway. So you might as well just give everybody that information.
That's true.
So everybody's on a fair footing when they try to look up that information.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Okay, so I think that's something that I, you know, kind of reluctantly pay for.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, and we don't have it as bad in the United States as other countries do, because I know we pay a lower tax rate than other countries do, so thank our lucky stripes that, you know, we have our lower tax rates. But that tax rate doesn't include as much as other countries.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all inclusive. You know, our net to the good, like, fun money isn't as good as other countries is. So
that's true.
There's that. All right. So what other red flags does a person have that would, like, throw you off of their scent?
Like that
would make you angry at them?
Like, normal, well, red flags are not really an anger thing. It's kind of more like of a that avoid would, them.
Yeah, avoid them.
Like, everyday people, not just, like, dating people.
Yeah, well, it could be dating, or it could be everyday people. We'll start with dating first.
Oh, red flags, dating.
Because that's more intimate of a person, and then we'll go with the generalized person.
Well, you know, one of my red flags for dating was that the person I'm dating had to have a job.
Yeah.
Even if they're in school.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
I ended up dating and marrying somebody who...
Yeah, you crossed your red flag.
I worked a lot of jobs while in college, so I didn't really understand how people could not work in college. But, you know, like, I gave it a chance with Jay because he was working on his...
Yeah.
Finishing up his degree. And
well, I think a good thing about having red flags and then overcoming them sometimes,
mm-hmm.
is we learn a better thing about ourselves, and we can learn something better about how the world works and how other people act, and we can learn about how better to deal with other people,
yeah.
and a different viewpoint. And that can be good. But that doesn't mean that we get along with those people all the time.
Yeah.
That means that we can get along with some of those people.
That's true. I think other red flags, like, big ones are the way people treat animals is yes. a big one.
I think that shows kindness and compassion.
Yeah. And it's a red flag if, you know, you hate animals, or if animals don't like you.
Animals don't like you. That's sometimes there's certain types of animals that,
yeah, but I mean, like, if every animal
hates yeah if you, every animal type hates you,
I think other red flags would be well, people who are too secretive.
Okay.
I don't like that. People I might be getting a little personal here. People who make you last priority.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know, you're supposed to go on a date on a Saturday at, like, 4 or 5, and they spend 4 or 5 hours at the gym, and they don't, and, like, this isn't, like, the first time they went to the gym that week. Like, they go every day for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And other red flags would be, like, people's phone numbers, like, popping up on their phone.
Yeah.
Without names, those kind of red flags.
Yeah, I understand that.
What about you, Jay? What about your red flags?
My red flags are generally lack of direction, or lack of whimsiness. I like a colorful mind. So, like, those two are kind of, like, opposites, but yet kind of, like, you need to know which way you're going, and but still have a idea of the bigger picture and how you're going to get there. And even though you might not get there, you still have a dream.
A dream.
And you still hold on to that dream, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And even though you might never get there, I want you to be a dreamer.
It's at least aspirations.
Yeah, aspirations. So I think that's important.
What's another red flag?
What's another red flag?
Stupidity.
Stupidity. Yeah, well, I think we all... I mean, there are some people that like a dumber match than themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some guys that like a dumber broad than themselves. I know some broads that like a dumber guy than themselves.
Yeah. Maybe not calling them broads.
Broads and dudes. Dudes and broads.
Okay, but what about red flags for like not dating?
Yeah, for not dating, I'd have to say...
I think my animal one still stands.
Yeah, your animal one still stands. For not dating, I think... I think if you're not aware of other people's emotions,
mm-hmm.
it's definitely a key one. Because if you got to be aware if you piss someone off.
Yeah.
And like I have had coworkers and people in the past that just are not aware of the way they say things and just how it rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And how it can affect that person's mood.
Oh, yeah.
And just how it can change that person's life. And I've seen that effect on my coworkers. And they come to me and they say, you know, hey, Jay, you know, that did you hear what that person said? That's really not nice. And I said, yeah, I heard that. You know, I'm really sorry that happened. And, you know, we gotta work on that. We gotta work on how that person treats you.
Sorry, Sam is curled up next to my butt.
Yeah,
he's playing with my hand. I think that another one that's very true. Like, I think, you know, it's a red flag for people to just only worry about themselves. But I think also,
yeah.
On the other hand, ass kissers.
Yeah, ass kisses.
They like, they're so far up somebody's butt that they can't see flaws. And I think that, you know, people who look at things through rose colored glasses are, you know, they're kind of gullible to the world. And, you know, they might think that this person like does nothing wrong, but, you know, they're actually fucking everything up.
Well, this is similar, but this is kind of different, but this is. So the term is yes men.
Yeah.
But it applies to yes people. So yeah. Anyone that is just willing to agree willy-nilly and not just, you know, fight for what they believe in and just like, you know, do whatever they, you know,
yeah,
believe in. So I think you need to stand up sometimes and fight your battle and pick which hill you want to die on. And
yeah, I think that's true.
Because, yeah, there are times you need to run away and tuck tail and
yeah,
and run because the other person does have too much power, you know, in a conversation or office setting or something like that. But, you know, or a relationship. But
is that your face? Oh, it's your face.
That's Sam's face, not my face, guys, just so you know.
He's cuddling up hard.
Yep.
Well, okay. So I think that we covered.
Yeah, we covered a good bit. Good bit of red flags. Good bit of things that what we pay for that annoy us.
We don't like.
We don't likey. Is there anything else you'd like to address?
No, we spent the weekend in Pittsburgh. Yeah, so we're quite tired. It was a treacherous trip.
Treacherous trip. Tentatively. Tutatively.
It was a treacherous trip for Mara Murray as well.
Yes.
Not quite the same because I was not drinking and driving, but the snow and the darkness
Yes.
It's very scary.
It's walls, yes.
We should probably call this episode The Treacherous Trip.
Treacherous Trip.
Yeah.
We'll Indeed.
See. okay, well.
Tricky, treacherous trip.
We have a roommate now.
We have a roommate now that may be joining us on some episodes.
We'll see.
We'll see. Depending what he
see how much wants we annoy him. And then our animals are always here to join us for episodes.
Yes, so our episodes will be complete with five now, maybe.
Well, hopefully everybody has a good week, and then we will talk to you in 2021.
Oh, 2021 is the next episode.
Guys, 2020 is finally going to be over.
2020 is over.
But hopefully 2021 is not going to be bad.
Yeah, I'm getting excited.
Okay, well, bye everyone.
Bye.